This is the Hoosier Ag Today Friday podcast and the latest Indiana farm news and weather, plus a look at Thursday's markets. I'm Andy Eubank. Thanks for joining us on the HAT podcast, made possible by First Farmers Bank and Trust, proudly serving local farms, families, and agribusiness for 140 years. Visit them online, ffbt.com, to learn more. In the news on this 5th of September, 2025, C.J. Miller has a preview of the Purdue Crop Chat podcast focusing on more southern rust this year. HAT Chief Meteorologist Ryan Martin's Indiana farm forecast details rain possibilities heading to the weekend, and the markets were mixed yesterday. Corn and beans came back to settle above even. Carl Setzer has market commentary on the Hoosier Ag Today Friday podcast.
At First Farmers, we know that farming takes grit. From unpredictable weather to market fluctuations, our farmers face challenges. Since 1885, we've watched them weather those challenges without fail. That's why we're proud to help power farmers with financial products, services, and expertise built around the seasonal nature of agriculture that lets them continue powering our local communities. Is it time to expand your operation? Visit us at ffbt.com or stop by a local branch to get started. First Farmers Bank and Trust, equal opportunity lender, member FDIC.
Southern rust causing headaches for corn producers, and two Indiana farmers named to a new committee to see if the state can gain some counties from Illinois. I'm C.J. Miller, and this is Hoosier Ag Today News. Well, corn producers have been facing a number of different disease pressures over the past several years. And before this year, it's mainly been tar spot.
Tar spot wasn't the story this year. It was southern rust. Southern rust was nasty, and it was everywhere.
And that's Dr. Dan Quinn, corn specialist with Purdue Extension. On the latest episode of the Purdue Crop Chat podcast, he tells Hoosier Ag Today that southern rust has been rearing its ugly head all across the Midwest.
It was all the way up to mid-Michigan. I know Iowa took it on the chin, and in Illinois, you know, that's a function of the temperatures we've had and the weather we've had. Even from some of our own trials, we've had submitted disease to our diagnostic labs, and a lot of them came back with not one, but like four or five diseases.
And now that southern rust is impacting corn in more places than ever, does that mean that corn producers will have to change up their strategies for tackling disease pressures for next year's crop?
I think they have to, but it's really tricky with a disease like southern rust because it really gets reset every year. Really hard to predict. Yep. You know, tar spot is something that once you have it, you have it, and if the conditions are right, we're probably going to see it, and some of the other diseases similar. Southern rust, one year you could have it, next year we could never see it. You know, a lot of it is based off of storm systems, you know, the movement of the spores out of the south, and also temperatures. You know, a disease like tar spot doesn't like high temps, and I think that's been a big reason why we haven't had much. It's been around it, but haven't had much. Disease like southern rust comes out of the south, it's more tropical disease, the higher temps, you know, it's going to thrive more.
But if there's a silver lining with southern rust, Quinn says it can be easily tracked as it spreads.
The pathologists, they do a good job of tracking it. Okay, Mississippi has it. Okay, Tennessee has it. Kentucky has it. Okay, now we're getting, you know, southern Indiana. So you get a pretty good understanding of how it's moving. But southern rust is a very aggressive disease. It can cause significant yield damage in a lot of areas, and it's something that can still impact corn all the way into late grain fill periods. So, it's something that is going to be on these farmers' minds as they keep moving forward.
Check out the latest episode of the Purdue Crop Chat podcast. It's at HoosierAgToday.com. You can also watch the video version of the podcast at Hoosier Ag Today's Facebook page and the Hoosier Ag Today channel on YouTube.
Get ready for the 63rd annual Farm Science Review, September 16th through 18th near London, Ohio. Dozens of new exhibitors join the hundreds of displays this year across the 100-acre exhibit area, field demonstrations, and Gwynn Conservation Area. Pre-sale discounted tickets can be purchased online at the Farm Science Review website. Plan your show with the digital directory and the mobile app available now. The 63rd Farm Science Review, September 16th through 18.
Well, two Indiana farmers are among the five members appointed this week by Indiana Governor Mike Braun to serve on a new commission to see how Indiana could reshape its state lines to include counties from Illinois. The Indiana-Illinois Boundary Adjustment Commission was created after Indiana's lawmakers discovered that more than 30 Illinois counties have been exploring their options to secede from their state. The Indiana farmers serving on the new board are Don Leahy from White County and Clay Andrews from Warren County. However, any change to state borders would require the consent of both the Indiana and Illinois state legislatures, as well as Congress. Read the full story at HoosierAgToday.com. I'm C.J. Miller, Hoosier Ag Today, Indiana's Farm Network.
At Farm Credit Mid-America, we do more than lend. We lift up our rural communities that we serve, too. From our day-to-day business of supporting farmers to our community investment efforts and scholarships for students, we help local rural communities find their next level. Visit fcma.com/community to learn more about our commitment to communities. Farm Credit Mid-America is an equal opportunity lender.
I'm Chief Meteorologist Ryan Martin with Hoosier Ag Today's Indiana Farm Forecast. Going through your Friday, watching an area of low pressure lift through the Great Lakes region again. Cloud cover a little bit coming in to northern Indiana off of this, but we are not concerned about any precipitation right now from this system. However, look at the low. There is a low pressure cell with this that's moving through the UP of Michigan up into southern Ontario. There is a secondary low all the way back down in south central parts of Kansas. The two are connected, folks. There's a frontal boundary in between, so that means this back system is going to have to try and follow eastward. And so because of that, I think we have to watch for clouds trying to come into southern Indiana overnight tonight into tomorrow. Rain shower action most likely going to stay to counties right near or within the shadow of the Ohio River, but I think we can see some on again, off again rain right on through most of the day tomorrow in far southern Indiana. You get north of US 50, we're probably just looking at mixed clouds and sun first, and then into northern Indiana, full sunshine through Saturday midday and afternoon. But down near the Ohio River, quarter to three quarters of an inch of rain can fall in that Friday night to Saturday mid-afternoon time frame. We clear out everywhere overnight Saturday night. Sunday looks sunny and cool. More for Monday. Cool air in control. We probably see our coldest morning lows on Monday morning, and then we start to see temperatures moderate the rest of the week. There is a significant batch of moisture coming together late Monday into Tuesday in the upper Midwest. A western Corn Belt, eastern plains, it dissipates and cannot move this direction. We probably see some on-again, off-again clouds at midweek, but no precipitation concerns. High pressure dominates then to finish the second half of next week. Into the weekend of the 13th and 14th, once again, active precipitation track all the way from western Lake Superior back down into the southwestern United States. Anytime the moisture tries to move eastward, it falls apart. At this stage, I don't think we put together a frontal boundary passage here in the eastern Corn Belt across the Hoosier State until maybe around the 18th into the 19th. And even then, that front looks like it falls apart as it gets here. So, well below normal precipitation. I cannot give you a good threat of rain at all over the Hoosier State once this far southern Indiana moisture gets done tomorrow afternoon and evening. That's the way your forecast is stacking up. I'm meteorologist Ryan Martin.
When it comes to buying seed, you can have your cake and eat it too when you order from Seed Genetics Direct. Finance next year's seed order through SGD Financing or John Deere Finance and pay 0% interest through January 2027. Unbeatable seed quality for an unbeatable price, plus zero interest financing from the fastest growing independent seed company in the Eastern Corn Belt. Now that's a slice of cake no grower can turn down. Seed Genetics Direct, value, knowledge, performance, it's in our genetics. Markets trudged lower again before a late turnaround in both corn and beans. This is Hoosier Ag Today's Thursday Farm Market Review. I'm Andy Eubank. I'll have the settlements. We begin, though, with commentary from Carl Setzer, Consus Ag Consulting. I spoke with him late in the session. Corn futures clawed back, eliminating the losses and back to even or slightly above by the end of trade, and still a little lower in beans and wheat. Carl, it has been an uninspiring week, to say the least.
Yeah, it's been real quiet. Not a lot of fresh news this week. And of course, it was a shortened week. So even though we're on Thursday, we're just into our third session of the week. trade, really, a lot of analysts, have been talking about the yields, and the yields might be walking back. And trade has just kind of developed the attitude that we want to see what yield is. And many of them very willing to just exit the market, go to the sideline, and wait for a week from tomorrow when that monthly WASD report comes out. That will contain a little bit more field collected data. So the yield estimate expected to be a little bit closer to what we may truly expect. Corn taking support today, too, from concerns on disease that's moving through the crop, as well as some very, very yield estimates starting to come out of the southern regions of the Corn Belt. Yields well below expectations in some areas, but what's more of a concern, test weight coming in just the upper 50 pounds per bushel, not quite as heavy as what trade had been expecting. All in all, that did give corn some support. Soybeans and wheat under pressure today, not necessarily from negative news, just not a lot of fresh bullish news to push those two markets higher.
And that's a theme we've been repeating day after day for some time.
It really is. And we did get some support in the meal today. Meal, we had that export yesterday, a flash sale. And then we looked at the where we were at for crush inventories. And our soy oil inventory sitting at a 7-month low, our meal inventory at a 9-month low. And trade had been concerned we would see an abundance of soy meal demand actually cutting in a little bit more than we thought. That's given meal some support today. Soy oil trying to firm as well, but that really couldn't move either.
We have seen a stronger dollar index. Is that playing a role?
Yeah, the dollar firmed up today, and the equity market managed to firm up too. Even with some negative economic news, the labor market in the United States definitely starting to tighten a little bit. Well, that is concerning from a consumer spending point of view. It's actually the news we need to get interest rates to tighten up a little bit. That caused gold to set back a little bit after several sessions of new contract and lifetime highs put in. Brought a little bit of money back into the commodity market today. That was a great help as well.
Carl Setzer, market commentary. Carl is at Contas Ag Consulting. His number is 989-506-1587. On the Hat Thursday market review, up just a little in corn. December, a penny and three quarters higher, 419 and three quarters. March, 437 and a half, up a penny and a half. And the bean market did turn around as well. By the end, 1033, November beans up a penny and a half. January also up a penny and a half at 1051 and a half. Down though in wheat, December 519 and a half, 2.5 cents lower. The meats were mixed. October live cattle, 236.95, down 137. And October lean hogs, 95.02, up $1.20. I'm Andy Eubank, Hoosier Ag Today, Indiana's most listened to farm network.